childish petulance, and the dark curtains of hair that hung down over her shoulders only accentuated those eyes, eyes that bore right into him. Dean's fear grew to the point where he wanted to gibber and moan with fright, even though some still rational part of his brain frantically tried to scream to him that it was all manipulation. Jenna's face, which could have been beautiful, if not clouded by her twisted nature, contorted with hate as she spat into Dean's face. Her acrid spittle stung his eyes, but he was unable to blink, his vision blurred by the liquid.
Harve, you're a fuckwit! You can't even get the better of a whelp like this! You know I hate using the taint in my soul unless I have to, so why make me have to?
Kid took me by surprise!
Yeah, right. Nothing to do with you getting old and useless!
Harvey, now in front and facing Dean, tried to slip an arm around Jenna's waist.
That's not what you say when...
No, not now.
She shrugged him off violently.
You moron, you always were led totally by your dick.
Harvey's face hardened, but he said nothing. Dean figured that he would be the one to pay for the sect chief's humiliation, and knowing this didn't help the fear that was still flowing through him. Jenna stepped back from them both and crossed her arms, looking askance at the young Carter.
You're obviously a bright boy, like your father. And you'll grow to be as handsome as him, too. Oh, no you won't. Because you won't live that long. Shame. Maybe I should take your father instead of old Harve here.
Harvey was stone-faced, his attention fixed on Dean.
I suppose you feel disgusted by what you've seen here. And I'll grant that my experiments have not been that successful as yet. But progress takes time, and that fire-blasted war came far too soon. You see, boy, one of the little projects the Illuminated Ones were working on was the creation of the perfect human being. It wasn't a widely known project, even within the group. Everyone has their secrets. But my father worked long and hard on it, trying to rebuild what his father had started, and what had been smashed when they left the redoubt and came into the open. Oh, yes, there were many little wars within the group, some of which even Alien knows nothing, despite what the fool thinks.
Harvey, his eyes still fixed on Dean, glanced over at Jenna.
You sure you should tell him this?
He's going nowhere. Anyway, I want him to see that this has an aim, a point.
Jenna's eyes began to shine.
Some of the Illuminated Ones were against the idea of the perfect human being. But those with vision could see it was the only way forward. A way that became even more of an imperative when Skydark happened. How else are we ever going to rebuild? It's too late for me, cursed as I am by these mutie traits. But what about for future generations? Those children are that future. They may not be perfect yet, but they tell me much for the next time around. And when I have reclaimed that lost knowledge, then...
She trailed off, lost in thought. Dean struggled to assert his will over his own body, hoping that her reverie would cause to weaken, if only for a moment, her grip on his mind. He was right. It took an immense effort on his part, but he managed to move his limbs, could feel the strength start to flow back into his muscles. He made as if to move forward, but he was too sluggish, still too much enthralled to Jenna. He was far too slow. Harvey stepped forward and punched Dean, using the time the boy's sluggish movements allowed him to draw back his arm and put all his weight behind the blow, knowing that Dean wouldn't be able to move his protesting body quickly enough to protect himself from the blow. Dean saw it coming toward him, but was unable to get out of the way. The fist hit him like a jackhammer in the face. He felt the blow as if in slow motion, blood filling his mouth as one tooth loosened and others bit into the flesh of his cheek. The bone of his jaw groaned and grated in protest, perhaps at breaking point. He was aware of the brutal smile on Harvey's face as consciousness slipped away from him. Ryan was aware of a jackhammer pounding in his brain as he slowly slipped back into consciousness. He slowly lifted his head, which felt as though it had little connection with the rest of his body. Looking around the sleeping unit, he saw that he and Christy were alone. The flame-haired beauty was wrapped around him, her body heavy with sleep. As the one-eyed man slipped from beneath her, he remembered with a smile the way they had made love, long and passionate, savoring the opportunity to take a few moments of peace and use it in that manner, knowing that they could, just for the moment, let down their guard and be totally wrapped in each other. But what about before that? The celebration was little more than a set of random images, each distorted by that fearsome brew and its incredible strength. As Ryan planted his feet on the ground and felt the impact travel up each calf, he wondered how the others felt as they awoke. Jack had an aching head, but the will to dismiss it. Too long had he spent hunting and living in hostile territories to let a hangover get to him. He smiled as he spotted Doc, attempting to rise among a heap of bodies. Considering that the surrounding Vill-dwellers were used to the brew and mostly much younger than Doc, it was a measure of the old man's constitution and wiry strength that he was conscious before the majority of them. The albino stepped over the bodies and assisted Doc to his feet.
Oh, my thanks, Jack.
Doc winced at the loudness of his own voice in his aching head.
I fear that I, in common with most, imbibed far too much last night.
Not much celebrated in this place. Why not enjoy?
True, true. But there was something troubling me last night. Something I felt I had to speak to Ryan upon, but I cannot for the life of me remember. Where are the others?
Too busy to notice.
A fair point. I have not been that drunk since New Year's Eve in Vermont. For one wild, intoxicated moment, I could almost have been back there.
Doc's eyes misted over as he recalled his beloved Emily and his children, Rachel and Jolyon, dead and buried even before Skydark. Jack took the old man's arm.
We find him.
Doc looked confused for a moment.
What? Why, yes. It was just that I could almost see them before that hard rain began to fall and... Wait!
He gripped Jack's arm so hard that the albino felt Doc's bony fingers bite into the muscle.
The hard rain. Sunchild. That's what I wanted to remember. Something I saw at Samtvogel. They have more than just blasters, and now that they have been routed, let us pray that he does not know how to use it, or that it isn't operative.
Jack frowned and took Doc's chin in his free hand so that he could focus his red eyes directly into Doc's.
What worry you?
Doc seemed to struggle for the words.
Hard rain. Like the cursed white coats and their appalling methods of destruction. It must have come from the redoubt or a silo nearby. Thank whatever god is left that they didn't somehow detonate it then.
What it?
A nuke, my friend. They have, in the middle of their vill, a nuke. The very thing that created them. A splendid irony, is it not?
When Dean awoke, he felt no pain from the blow that had rendered him unconscious. He felt no headache, nor any of the pain and nausea from concussion. In fact, he felt as though he were adrift on a sea of wool, muzzy but completely happy. He felt drugged. He slowly realized that that had to be the case, as he became aware of the fact that his wrists and ankles were secured, and that he was lying on the table in the middle of the room. Turning his head, he saw Jenna. There was no sign of the sec chief. Dean smiled stupidly at her, unable to do anything else. Jenna returned his smile, but with a sinister edge.
As you may have guessed, young Cawdor, you've been sedated to keep you quiet and make you more malleable. You'll make an interesting experiment. I've never had a subject as young or as fit as you, nor one from outside this gene pool. I hope you're not hiding any muti traits, or that the red-headed muti bitch isn't your mother. Unfortunately, it's not easy to synthesize the drugs that were used on previous experiments, not with what I have available at the moment. But I do my best. I think you'll find the chemicals I'll be using on you will perhaps hurt more than they should, which is why I've put you under such a heavy dose. We'll begin tonight, after I've appeased my idiot husband for disappearing from his stoop celebration last night. Until then, rest well, my little one.
She came over to him and kissed him gently on the lips before turning to go. Dean continued to smile stupidly, although every fiber of his being screamed silently, unable to find release through the drug haze. He was still smiling when she locked the door, imprisoning him until his ordeal would begin.